everybody, and welcome to DeathRowBroads.com comic book podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today, it is brought to you by... Let's go with Tiger Direct. They have computer stuff. Bobby likes them.
Yeah?
You could tell how quality of a company this is. God.
Well, the one fan I bought from them ended up being a little bit noisy.
I am really terrible at selling our sponsors. But yeah, they have a bunch of computer parts at discount prices for Canadians. So click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads on the site for Tiger Direct and go buy some computer parts. I saw in there they have an entire computer assembly kit, which actually is pretty good for like $600. Not bad. Well, we don't have computer parts, but we do have t-shirts. So please go to DeathRowProducts.com/store and check them out. Or go to the t-shirt design... If you have a design for a shirt you think we would like, then please send it to bovion@DeathRowProducts.com or post it in the t-shirt design thread on the forums, where Big Man CJS has already posted some. And I like them.
Yeah, we just need,
artists.
Them to be arted.
Yeah.
I'm going to be talking to a guy.
If you have art, that's better. Priority will be given to people with art.
Yes, please go to the t-shirt design forum and go to the thread, designs based on a single word or phrases from the Death Store Prods podcast, and art stuff.
It is the thread that isn't read before posting, because there are two of them in that forum. One's read before posting, and one is that thread. Yeah. But yeah, we're also doing Extra Life again this year, so please go to DeathStoreProducts.com/Extra Life, that's all one word, and donate, or join the team that was fundraised. We are trying to raise $1,000 to help Children's Miracle Network hospitals, and every donation you give will be donated directly to those hospitals, and all donations are tax-deductible. So please, DeathStoreProducts.com/Extra Life, and donate.
Ooh!
There's a phone ringing.
We got a caller!
Yep, and they're just going to keep letting it going. Goody. Well, they did. So, anyway, I'm your host, the Dead Man. Join me today, we have Bovion.
Hello.
And Steven.
That wasn't my phone.
Nope, it was my mom's phone. Because remember, I live in her basement.
Cool.
Yeah. So, here's how I got some comic books. So, Bovion, what have you been reading?
Ooh, Bovion's first.
All right, I guess we'll start off with the big one. I read through all of Watchmen again.
Oh, goody.
Oh, what'd you think?
It's been a while since I've read it. It was fucking awesome, quite honest. It's Watchmen.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not really much else you can say about Watchmen.
I have some stuff to say about Watchmen.
Well, there's...
Like, Watchmen proper.
No, yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty to say about it,
That
yeah.
hasn't already been said?
I'm sure everything we say has already been said.
I doubt it. Especially with what I'm going to be saying about Vending Spider-Man 11.
It's already been said.
Simpsons did it.
So I guess we'll do a little back and forth here. Steven, what are your thoughts on Watchmen, and we'll just have a little conversation.
You want to know what my favorite line in all of Watchmen is? I just looked through it to find this line, so I quote it right. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm on Mars. Expert Dialogue by Alan Moore.
What? If you were on Mars, what would you do?
I would say I was on Mars. I'd probably go, because I couldn't breathe.
If you were teleported to Mars with breathable atmosphere.
Okay. I wouldn't say, I don't know, I don't think I'd say, oh shit, I'm on Mars. I'd probably swear a lot more. I wouldn't say, two things. I'd just, keep going. But,
You're like, fucking bum nuggets.
I reread Watchmen a couple months ago, and it's good. It's one of the best comics ever written, but it's pretty overhyped.
It is a bit, yeah. And there were a few things in it that bugged me, and I'm like, the movie just sort of, I know people say like the comic book's better than the movie, and yes, for the most part, yes, the comic book is better than the movie. But there are a few things where I'm like, I just feel the comic book handled this better. Not the comic book, the movie.
Yeah, I was reading this comic book and I realized the comic book handled it a lot better than the comic book.
No, I felt like at some point, like, you know, the movie kind of handled this better. Like, when they figured out Ozymandias' password, you know?
Yeah.
They sort of gave a reason in the movie. He sort of had to guess a few things first, and then he saw it written on a book. It's like, okay, that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. But just... I'm going to try Ramses the second. Oh, look, it worked.
I'm going to try Ramses the second.
Yeah, because he knows shit.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. Just like what bugs me is how... I wouldn't say dated the dialogue, but it's very stiff. Like, a lot of it seems stuff that I wouldn't ever hear a person say.
Yeah. Although it's...
Like, it's a lot of exposition-y dialogue sometimes.
However, enjoy Rorschach's manner of speaking.
Yeah. That they did that, yeah. Like, I love Watchmen. And I love Rorschach. But when I reread it, I've, like, read a lot since I last read it. And, like, in between the times I read it. And I was like, I expected more from the eighth time of reading Watchmen. Ah, kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I expected there to be an extra couple chapters in there.
I saw the ending coming from a mile away.
Yeah. I remember the first time I read it, and I was like, whoa, what?
Yeah, it's like, why is there a giant brain vagina squid?
And then when I first read it, and Rorschach died, I actually, like, I was affected emotionally. I was like, woo, he's my favorite character, and he died.
It's fucking Rorschach, and he got blowed the fuck up.
Yeah, it was kind of sad.
But, I will admit to one thing, that I did watch the movie first.
Oh, neither did I.
Sorry?
I didn't watch the movie first.
Me either.
Yeah, nobody did.
I did. I'm that guy.
Oh, no, you said you didn't.
No, I did. I'm that guy.
Oh, you're the worst then.
Dude, that book was in our high school library since before the movie was out.
And I did read it there. It's just at one point, I ended up being forced to watch the movie at someone's house when I didn't really know that much about Watchmen. And then I watched it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go check out this comic book now.
Yeah, I read the comic when I first heard about the movie. Like, well, not really first heard about it. It was like I started hearing some more about the movie was coming out, and I like started talking to some people. And like, I was on like a trivia team in high school.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and so I was talking to some of those guys in there, and they're pretty big comic book fans too. Mm-hmm. And so they were saying like some of the panels are like some of the movies are like shot for shot like a remake of the panels.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh man, check out this comic. Then I read it, I was like, oh dude.
Yeah. Yeah, when I heard about the movie coming out, I saw the book in bookstores, and I was like, what's that? But I didn't look through it, and then I heard about the movie, and then I bought the book, and then I read the book.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be able to read it for free. Without pirating it.
Ooh.
I got it from the public library. So, that was free and legal.
What, we get from the high school library is illegal for some reason?
No, it's just, you know, downloading them is illegal.
Yeah, we would never do that.
And getting things from the library actually helps support the people who make it.
Really?
In a roundabout way, yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, no, there's this video online of an author who's had a lot of people tell him that they pirated his books. He's basically like, go to a fucking library. It actually supports writers, and this is how.
I see.
That would be that's just a dick move.
Why would you tell someone you pirated their book?
It's like, oh, hey, man, your book was great. I pirated it, like, 17 times. My hard drive kept crashing. I don't know why.
Like, at one point, he's like, I guess people expect me to think this is okay so that they're not paying for overpriced books, but, like, if you can't afford it, go to the library.
Well, if it's not in any library within your vicinity?
Buy it.
That's unlikely.
Not really.
For this particular book and... for anyone in a city that has a real library system.
Was it Catcher in the Rye?
It's actually, it's a newer one, The Fault in Our Stars, but it was on the New York Times bestseller list for like a couple months. It was number one on the New York Times bestseller list for like a couple months there.
Ah.
Okay, well, back to comic books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real books are for losers.
Yeah. Real books are for queers and university students.
Yeah. Well, then watch the movie when it comes out. But anyways. Yeah, so Watchmen, it's still good. I don't enjoy the pirate stories that much.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
The pirate stories, they don't really have any real reason to be there.
Well, they mirror stuff.
I kind of see how they parallel the story, and that's kind of interesting. But
yeah, but we have the story. We don't need a parallel of the story within the story.
It just proves how clever Alan Moore is.
This isn't fucking Christopher Nolan shit. You know, not Hans Zimmer's in the background every time we read it. He's going, blong. But while the pirate stuff was kind of I did like the stuff with the Bernies.
Me too.
Yeah, who was your favorite Bernie? Black Bernie or white Bernie?
I don't want to say, because one, I'm creepy, and the other, I'm racist.
Okay, who'd you like, old Bernie or young Bernie?
Well, still, I'm creepy if I like young Bernie.
I found young Bernie.
I like both Bernies. I like all Bernies. I don't see race.
Because being not Bernie is a race.
Here's the thing. I like it when old Bernie talks to Walter. But I like young Bernie because he's so goddamn sassy.
I just thought he was an asshole.
Young Bernie?
Yeah.
I love it.
Did young Bernie even buy a copy of that comic, or did he just come there every day, get the same copy, just read it over and over again?
Kept reading it over and over.
He would pick up a copy, complain about it until he got it for free.
Jackass!
Don't you wish you could do that?
Yes!
I try it every week.
This issue of The Dark Knight sucks. Doesn't even go anywhere.
It's like, Bane? What the fuck is this shit?
Ooh.
It's like, who the fuck is White Rabbit Lady? I don't give a... Makes no sense.
I like how you picked Dark Knight, because I don't read that, and if I did, I would complain about it a lot.
Why does Two-Face look like Bane?
You can call me One-Face!
Because in the first issue, Two-Face turns into Bane.
Yeah, and he calls himself One-Face.
Yeah, because I don't know.
Even though his face was the same.
Yeah. It wasn't like some hush shit.
Yeah. You could call me One Face, bad boy.
But you still have two faces.
Yeah, I know. Dead Face and Scary Face.
Shut up!
Scary Face.
Moving on.
Yeah, I guess moving on to my other thing.
Ooh, another thing.
I read issue 1 of Zorro.
Oh.
How is Zorro? I kind of like the way it's set up, to be honest.
Does any point does he like cut the strings on a woman's dress and like kind of opens up a bit?
Well,
does he cut Z into things? I hear he does that.
there is one thing with a Z cut into a dude's hand.
That's not as cool. It's just like.
By the way, you're Canadian. Why the fuck did you say Z?
Yeah, motherfucker.
Because Z sounds better at the alphabet than Z.
Okay. Kidnap him, ship him out to America.
Come on, dude, don't you like ZZ Top? What about Dragon Ball Z?
ZZ Top. ZZ Top. That's going to be my band. I'm going to get ZZ Top.
But yeah, it kind of handles the whole origin thing pretty well. For, like, you don't see much of Zorro in the first issue.
Does he look like Antonio Banderas?
We don't know. We only see him in the costume.
Does he look like Tyrone Power?
See him in the costume and as a kid, so we don't really get to know.
He could look like young Antonio Banderas. Does he look like young Puss in Boots?
Does he look like a cat?
He looks like Puss in Boots.
Yeah. Hey, come on. He's pretty much Zorro.
Actually, though, at one point,
young
Zorro is going on his spirit quest, and his spirit animal is a fox. But in every goddamn shot, it looks like a cat.
Is he wearing boots? Does he carve up...
You see the cat's face. It's like, he's going to grow up to be Puss in Boots.
Yeah. Does he carve peas into things, but somehow the middle fabric in the piece like floats there, but like magically? Because that's what happened to Puss in Boots.
But anyways, so basically the way it's showing this is it's showing a group of soldiers in present day, basically talking about one of the early Zorro attacks. And, like, you've got this voiceover of narrator of Zorro's childhood friend, his milk brother, which, by the way, means someone else who sucked on your mom's tits when they were a kid.
Okay.
Yeah, because wet nurses were a thing once.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, his milk brother is basically talking about Zorro and saying, you know, they say that stories are written by those who tell them, but a legend is written by those who hear it. And it's basically going into how Zorro has been so embellished to be such a terrifying force. And he's like, it all started, and he starts, you know, telling the childhood origin story of Zorro, which is actually so far handled pretty well.
Yeah, it's like, when you think about it, like, Zorro's just a dude in a hat and a bandeasy.
And a sword.
Yeah, but his spirit animal is a fox, and...
So, does a spirit animal fight alongside him?
No.
That'd be cool.
Does a spirit animal turn into his sword?
Yeah.
Can as far use... as I know, it doesn't.
Can he, like, summon his spirit animal powers and become part fox?
Yeah. Can he do any of those things?
As far as I know, it doesn't.
Then he's a dude in a hat and a bandeasy with a sword.
Yeah. And a horse.
But he's a dude who can sword fight well, who has a skill for riding horses.
Oh, yeah. Aside from all those other people who ride horses and sword fight, who are just, like, kind of just making it up as they go.
So, but his spirit animal's the fox, which means he must be better at it.
Why? Are foxes intrinsically better at sword fighting?
Yes.
Or horse riding.
Have you ever sword fought a fox?
Yes, I won. My spirit animal's
a... I fear you, my friend.
My spirit animal's a monkey. The fuck you got?
A wolf.
Yeah, wolves can't climb trees.
Damn it! what am I gonna do? How am I gonna sword fight someone in a tree?
Who's throwing his shit at you?
Throw the sword down the tree.
But he's at the bottom of the tree.
Then throw up.
I doubt wolves have, like, the neck power, like, the power to, like, with their mouths to throw a sword up a tree.
Yeah, but I have arms.
Yeah, he's not a wolf.
Hey, we weren't talking about, like, us sword fighting. We're talking about a wolf fighting a sword fighting a monkey.
We were talking someone who has a wolf spirit animal fighting someone who has a monkey spirit animal.
But we were on two different pages.
You guys are
back on topic.
You guys are crazy.
So yeah, for the rest of the comic, it kind of, you know, flashes back and forth between, you know, childhood Zorro stuff and soldiers talking about Zorro attacking, and it ends with the dude being like, you know, I finally realized that I was defeated after everyone else died, and I got on my knees and I begged for his mercy. He gave me his mercy, but I must forever bear the shame of his mark. And he holds up his hand, and there's a Z on it.
Oh, so it's like Inglourious Bastards.
It's like that movie. The Mark of Zorro.
That's a lot of Inglourious Bastards. Like, all right, so I'm not going to kill you, but then we're just like, we're going to mark him so that he knows you were beat by me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But instead of carving a swastika into his forehead, he carves a Z into his hand.
Yeah, much more PG.
So yeah.
The Mark of Zorro!
Yes!
Anything else you want to know about Zorro?
How similar is it to Batman? The answer should be very.
Mexican.
Fair enough.
Did the guy have the Z card into his left hand or right hand?
Left yeah. hand.
Okay. Zorro's not that cruel.
I'm left-handed.
Get it!
You must think of me whenever you masturbate. Whenever you get receiving love from yourself, you must think of me.
I always think of Zorro. That's it. That's my joke for this week.
Oh, God.
Title, Jerking Off to Zorro.
I was going with, oh shit, I'm on Mars.
Can you title it Steven's Dark Secret?
No. I'm putting Jerking Off to Zorro in the description, though.
Yes, please do.
Okay, so, Bovi, that it for you?
That is it for me.
Okay. I haven't done in the middle of this podcast for a while, so on to me.
Oh, what?
It will lead better into when we talk about Before Watchmen.
Oh, okay.
So, gonna start with my pick for what I read. Avenging Spider-Man number 11.
Okay.
So, in this issue, in the previous issues, he'd been teaming up with various members of the Avengers, going on adventures that include, mole people drawing comic books and a giant Robo-Girl. But now it's the anniversary of Uncle Ben's death. Aww. And everyone looks terrible.
What do you mean?
The art is atrocious. Everyone has Hal Jordan eyes.
What does that mean?
Oh, God.
Green Lantern issue 1, those eyes.
Oh, God.
The eyes that stare into you.
They don't have the teeth, too, do they?
No, they don't have the teeth. It's just everyone is drawn with eyes that are fucking huge and staring into your soul.
I would not be able to read that comic.
It is terrifying.
The one frame fucked with me enough.
It is all kinds of just... It's evil. It's terrifying. I don't want it. And it just starts going through old memories of when Ben died and how Peter was it was all my fault that he says that line at least 10 times.
God damn it.
Yeah, and it's all right. It's Uncle Ben. He Ben because it was.
Oh.
I've liked Avenging Spider-Man up to this point. The stuff with Hawkeye was really good, the stuff with the Hulk was really good, the stuff with Captain America was stupid, but whatever.
Mm.
You know, stuff with
Captain America?
Yeah, Captain America. Yeah, it was the stuff with Captain America was real stupid.
Why?
Because it showed that back in ye olden days, Captain America used to draw a really retarded, propaganda comic book strip.
Wasn't it
It was Liberty Lad or something.
Yeah.
Who's there to sell Liberty Bonds for Liberty.
And
that was a joke, actually. It's how many times can you say Liberty in one sentence?
Yeah.
And then, Spider-Man's wait a minute, he was a nerd? I'm a nerd! We have something in common! And then he gets him to draw a comic book with him again. Because, he was such a fantastic artist.
Steve Rogers was an artist. That's canon.
Yeah, but his art in this thing was terrible.
Oh, ooh.
I did not like it.
But then again, it was his art being depicted in a comic book that already had terrible art.
So it had to be
Avenging Spider-Man number. So the art changes from comic to comic, from story arc to story arc.
Yeah.
In Captain America, it was really good. In the fucking and then the first three issues of the Hulk, it was really good. I think it was done by Humberto Ramos. Who did the big time art style stuff, and I fucking love his art.
I like Herbert Ramos.
Yeah, but it's so bad in issue 11.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It does look bad.
Yeah. So, speaking of Humberto Ramos, I also read Amazing Spider-Man issue 692, the one where he gets a sidekick.
I was going to talk about this also.
Hooray.
Yeah, I forgot. But I need to talk about it now.
We'll both talk about it. You can go first, though.
So the story behind this one is there's a kid. I forget his name because I don't care.
Wait. I want. Just keep going.
So yeah, he is
Andy McGuire.
Okay, so he has a kind of shitty life. He's
bullied. Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, he's bullied at school. He can't get the girl. He can't get the girl he likes to listen to him. He is not that smart. His parents hate him.
His parents are dicks.
Yeah, his parents are dicks. And then one day during a field trip to Horizon Labs, where Spider-Man works, Spider-Man Peter Parker was showing off this thing called Parker Particles.
Yeah.
Because, there's Pym Particles and Richard Particles, or whatever the fuck it is, Reed Richards. Fuck, I don't care. Yeah. Then something goes horribly wrong, and Andy gets zapped by shit.
Yeah.
And thus he gets superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Including super speed, super strength, flight, energy projection, and force fields. But he can only use one of those powers at a time. So he's kind of like that Wonder Kid from the Legion.
Mm.
But anyway, then he becomes a superhero called Alpha.
Because he's the Alpha threat.
Yeah, because he's... Yeah, cause like, so, you know, because you know how, like, in the Marvel Universe, they have, like, different, like, echelons of, like, power levels? There's, like, Omega was supposedly, the top, and now there's the Alpha?
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, the S rank?
It's like Alpha is... It can become a big threat.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah, but anyway... And then we see this kid do everything Spider-Man didn't. So, for one thing, he reveals that his identity is known to the public. He uses his powers to pick on bullies. He uses his power to get girls. He uses his power to get money.
Mm-hmm.
And he also rips off the Thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding.
Yeah, he slowly says the line.
Yes, there's one bit in the comic where the Fantastic Four are fighting that weird big blob thing that was in, like, Fantastic Four issue 1.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fighting, and then Andy McGuire, who's like Spider-Man told him to wait in the car or something. Essentially.
Wait in the car.
Essentially. And he's like, I'm coming, guys, don't worry. It's like, it's clobbering time. And the whole thing's like, the fuck did he just say?
Yeah, the Thing was all
that shit that is copywritten, motherfucker.
It's trademarked.
I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Yeah. He calls him cocky.
Yeah, it's...
And other things.
I fucking hate this kid.
Yeah. Yeah. This issue is probably one of the worst comics I've ever read. Just the writing is the worst thing I've probably ever read. Which makes me sad, because I love the writer who's been writing Spider-Man.
Yeah, like and the
art... amazing.
And the art is amazing, too.
Hmm? Yeah,
I fucking love the art.
I have this thing against thought clouds. I hate thought clouds. I think they look stupid. Like, when you've got the squares, the narration squares, use those. But no, they've got these stupid clouds everywhere, and I hate them. And just, like, every line of dialogue is just, like, exposition-y, and just, like, man, my life is so much more harder than everyone else's. Oh, and this girl doesn't like me, and I just like her because she's got a nice butt.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my life is hard as fuck.
Yeah, and
I just wish I get blasted with shit and then I die.
And oh god, and his parents
with shit and he doesn't die.
And his parents suck so much.
His parents are unrationally like assholes.
Yeah, like they didn't give a fuck about him.
And then he got powers, and then they were all like, "We should trademark this or whatever."
It's like, then they got powers, and then they were like, "We're gonna sue Horizon Labs unless you start paying us."
Yeah.
And then they just, and like, all of a sudden, like his managers or something were just like, mooching off of his success of accidentally getting struck by shit.
Yeah.
Like, the inherent concept isn't bad.
No.
Like Spider-Man is all about responsibility.
Yeah.
And guilt.
It has none.
He's all about responsibility and guilt.
Yeah.
So making him feel guilty about accidentally giving this kid powers, which may or may not ruin his life and put him in world danger, but taking responsibility by like bringing him under his wing and teaching him the ropes of being a superhero, is not a bad idea.
Whoa.
But it was executed so terribly.
Yeah. No, it's really bad. I don't understand why. It's just like no one is acting the way they would act in this situation.
No, they wouldn't.
Peter is exponentially depressed about it. Like, he gets sad a lot.
Yeah,
this is so unlike him to be like, what do I do?
Yeah.
This is so difficult.
Yeah.
Like, Mr. Fantastic is like, you deal with him.
It's like, you made him, you deal with him.
I don't want to deal with this. Everyone's so dumb.
It turns out Reed Richards discovered the Parker particles like 20 years before Parker did.
Yeah, and like it's not that's unlike Reed Richards because Reed Richards takes credit for everything.
Yeah, like you'd
it's
think
Reed Richards' thing.
Yeah, like and you'd think that Reed Richards, who has like his fingers in everything,
yeah,
would know. It's like, oh hey, dude, by the way, I created these things like 20 years ago. Probably don't want to fuck with them.
Yeah, I feel like. Peter would also, like, tell him before he makes a big discovery.
Yeah.
Like, they're buddies. They're science friends.
Yeah, they're homies.
Yeah. There's, like, nothing makes sense in this.
Yeah, it's...
And then there's the Jackal. Again.
What the fuck is the Jackal doing here?
Know who it should be. It should be Green Goblin. This should be the Green Goblin Comes Back issue.
Yeah, what's with the spider bitches?
Oh, those are probably from Spider Island.
They aren't.
Oh.
I read Spider Island.
Yeah, so did I.
They aren't.
Oh.
They're not. I read everything of Spider Island and most of the tie-in shit except for the fucking Spider Girl, because fuck her.
Well, they were in Spider Girl. Just kidding. I didn't mean Spider Girl.
Spider Girl was so stupid.
I like Spider Girl.
Spider...
I like the character. I haven't read it.
She has a magic tattoo.
Oh, then it's stupid.
She fights human hornet things.
That's cool.
Because I guess hornets are the evil enemies of spiders.
They're bugs.
I'm not fucking kidding.
Haven't you watched Wild Wild West?
Oh, no. the mini stories, because it's a giant issue, because it was the anniversary one. They're both pretty bad also.
Yeah, I didn't read those.
You didn't?
No.
There's one that's called Spider-Man for a Night, and it's about this bank robber just like Spider-Man and tries to do Spider-Man things, but everyone hates Spider-Man, so it doesn't work. And then the other one is Peter's Day is having a rough day, and then he meets a kid.
Wait, Peter's Day is having a rough day?
Yeah, sorry.
It's like, oh man, my day looks pretty haggard.
Anyways, Peter is having a rough day and he sees a kid who's getting like picked on or something, and then he spends the day with the kid teaching him life lessons, and it's also boring because nothing happens.
It's like, hey kid, you want to shoot off my web shooters? It's like, yeah. Okay, now put your hands in my pants and shoot my other one.
It's like a less interesting version of the story they did back in like, I think it's the 80s, where it's like Peter tells this kid everything about him, and then you find out the kid has cancer. Like, that's an amazing story, because they... Oh, no, it's got to be way before then, because they did... Wait, hold on. Okay, no, it's in the 80s, because they did that same thing in the 90s cartoon. And they just... Like, Peter tells him, like, his whole, like, origin and all this stuff, and then you find out the kid has cancer, and it's really sad.
So, did Spider-Man know this kid had cancer when he started talking to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, the kid's, like, last wish was to see Spider-Man.
It's like, I was going to say, like, the way you were saying it, it was like...
It's like it was like, twist?
Yo, no, it was like, yeah, like, Spider-Man just kind of, like, showed up, found this kid, he's like, hey, kid, let me tell my origin story. And they just Spider-Man tells me I have cancer.
It was just like a walker
tells me I have AIDS moment.
It's like Peter goes and tells this kid stuff because he's, like, Spider-Man's biggest fan. And then after he's done talking to kid, he talks to his nurse, and he's like, how long does he got? He won't last till morning, and then it ends.
It's like, good, good. My secret will be safe.
Anyways, but this story is like that, but without the sad part at the end, and it's just like Peter talking for hours. And it's not even like, you don't even see anything. It's just him standing with bubbles floating around him with words in them.
But isn't that like one from the 80s?
Yeah.
Did the Make-A-Wish Foundation like contact Spider-Man in any way?
Or I assume.
Or was it just like Spider-Man was just swinging by and they heard this kid? He's like, I wish I could meet Spider-Man. Whoa, hold up, that kid, how's it going?
I think it was like in the paper.
Yeah, because there seemed to be easier. There might have been easier ways to like than like getting Spider-Man. Actually, you could have just like got Spider-Man costume. What you have to do is like, hey kid, I'm Spider-Man. Swip,
yeah,
swip,
but the kid would know because he's like Spider-Man's biggest fan.
So he's dying.
Who cares?
Just pump full of drugs, like, hey, get on Spider-Man. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't read it in a while. Just I don't give, think I read yeah. all of it. I just read parts.
Just give, like, the cancer little kid a bunch of hallucinogens. Put him in a room full of red and blue shit and let his mind go wild. It'd be a much better way to die than, like, slowly dying of cancer.
That'd suck.
Yeah, like, if you're high as fuck when you're slowly dying of cancer, you don't feel the pain as much. I'm guessing.
True. Make it be known the dead man has a PhD in cancer.
I have a PhD in drugs, actually.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know.
And wouldn't it be an MD?
No.
I have a philosophical doctorate in drugs.
Yes. I don't know. I go to film school.
Let's move on from this horrible, horrible topic.
Okay, you have more comics to talk about?
Yeah. So, Bovi, you pick one. from my list of 42?
Something about Shazam.
Yes, the power of Shazam!
Isn't that a kid's book?
No, fuck off.
Okay.
So this is a one-shot that led into the Power of Shazam series that went on in the 90s. That was briefly brought back in the 2000s for Blackest Night.
Right.
So this one-shot explains the origin story of Billy Batson and how he became Captain Marvel. His parents got murdered and his sister was kidnapped.
That sucks.
Yep. Yeah, so his parents, C.C. Batson and a lady.
I think it's Marion.
Oh, I don't give a fuck. She's dead. Yeah, so them and this guy, Adam. That's his last name, by the way. I can't remember what his first name is. And it's not Teth yet. So yeah, they're on an archaeological dig funded by some businessman who's totally, totally evil.
Oh.
All businessmen are evil.
Is it that guy?
Yeah, it's that guy, you know, with the face.
The guy who's not Lex Luthor.
No.
But looks like Lex Luthor.
This guy's, like, old and tiny.
Is he bald?
Kind of looks like Mixoplex.
Is he bald, though?
Yeah, but he still has some hair.
Does he have thick glasses?
Wait, yeah, it might be him, then.
It's the guy who's not Lex Luthor.
What's his name?
I forget.
Yeah, fuck. Well, whatever. So then C.C. Batson, Lady, and Adam, they're like on an archaeological dig, and they go down into this cave where they see a giant lightning bolt in the wall. They open up the tomb, and Adam goes crazy and starts killing everyone.
Oh.
Because greed.
You're right.
Yeah, so then Adam goes back to the hotel where the Batsons and their daughter are staying. And he kills their Egyptian housekeeper and kidnaps the daughter. Meanwhile, back in America, Billy Batson, who lived with his uncle for this time, was thrown out of his house and is now living in the gutter.
Ooh.
Yeah, so then he starts hearing voices.
As one would do.
Yeah. And then a strange man in a trench coat and hat lead him down to the subway.
When you say it like that,
that's the implication.
Sounds like a bad idea.
Believe me, it gets explained, kind of. So yeah, he gets sent down there and then is taken to Shazam, the powerful wizard and stuff.
Shazam!
Yeah, who then turns him into Captain Marvel. And Billy takes this about as well as you'd expect and starts trashing the wizard's place.
Why?
Because he's like freaking out. He's like, oh god, what have you done to me? I'm hearing these voices in my head. They won't stop. Shut them off! Because, you know, he has the Wisdom of Solomon. And the Wisdom of Solomon is voices in his head.
Ah.
So yeah, then Billy Batson is let out into the world, where he stops some guys who are trying to blow up a TV station for saying that this businessman is evil. Yeah, and they stop him, and then Adam realizes that with the magical shit that he stole from the tomb, he can turn to a superhero. Because Captain Marvel looks exactly like Billy's dad. Because Billy, I guess, when he grows up, will look exactly like Billy's dad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that actually does make kind of sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then they start duking it out, and then Shazam removes Adam, all that his power. We learn that the, like, fucking dude in the trench coat was actually the ghost of Billy's dad.
Ooh, ghosts.
Yeah, because he's a wizard.
Ooh.
Yeah, and this story is kind of weird. Like, I do like it. It's got, like, a kind of updated 50s art style. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of has outline and stuff of kind of 50s art style, but it has, like, modern-day coloring and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking Captain Marvel, he looks like a 50s dude.
Yeah, he'll always look 50s. Except for now.
Yeah.
Where he looks stupid.
Have we even seen, like, Captain Marvel? Like, proper?
A little bit. Like, in a panel. And he's not called Captain Marvel anymore. He's actually called Shazam.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Shazam! Okay, he has the hood now.
Yeah.
And the lightning
and, like, the lightning bolt has a smaller kind of lightning bolt, and it's full of energy inside, I guess. Or it looks like it is.
And his eyes shoot lightning.
Yeah. The guy's name is Dr. Savannah.
Yeah, Savannah. That's his name. Right, he's the one who founded the expedition. But yeah, and like the story, the writing and everything is kind of cheesy, like a 50 story. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty good. Like the reason I got this thing was because I thought it was like some kind of collected thing of the actual like series from 1996 that I wanted to read.
Ah.
But no, this is just the one shot that like led into it, and it's good. Like I liked it.
Shazam.
Yeah, it was weird, but I still liked it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, moving on, Steven, your pick.
Okay, I'm going to talk about two books before we talk... What?
My pick. Yes, I said your pick.
Oh, well, my pick is Green Lantern Annual.
So, Green Lantern Annual. This is a continuation from Green Lantern issue 12, I think, where Hal Jordan and Sinestro's rings have run out of power, and they are buried underground.
Mm-hmm.
Because Black Hand.
Oh, I liked Hal Jordan being buried in a coffin. Because Ryan Reynolds, who played Green Lantern, also was buried into a coffin in a movie called Buried, and I found that to be delightfully similar.
Okay.
I'm sure no one in the entire world thought that except me.
I've kind of tried to blank out Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan for a while. I did not like it. But anyway, yeah, so Black Hand is there, he's doing all evil shit, and he's trying to, like, raise Hal Jordan's dad from the dead with his Black Lantern ring.
Yeah.
And then while all that is happening, the Guardians are starting the Third Army.
Dicks.
Yep. They're using the power of the First Lantern.
Whatever that means.
The First Lantern is the Guardians' like first attempt at creating some kind of
thing.
Yeah. Like, it was their first attempt at a Manhunter, their first attempt at a Lantern of any kind. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, for the past couple issues, we've been hearing, like the people, like, the Green Lanterns, they've been hearing someone screaming, "Let me out."
Have they?
I think so. I remember that.
Oh.
I was either, if you're remembering that, or I was remembering something else entirely from Trinity.
I don't know, maybe.
Because in Trinity, someone's screaming, "Let me out."
I haven't seen anything in Green Lantern.
The Guardians, they go to the Chamber of Shadows, which is like some weird nether dimension.
Of course.
Where this giant fucking rock thing is holding other Guardians who aren't Guardians. Mm-hmm. Like, the Guardians of the Galaxy, they like severed all emotions and shit and created the Green Power Rings, and these guys had kept all their emotions and stayed in the Chamber of Shadows to guard the First Lantern.
They're also dressed differently.
Yeah, they're just like, they're just like farmers.
They're dressed like farmers.
No, like old school, like fantasy farmers with weird hats.
Oh. I was thinking like plaid and like cowboy hats.
No, like it's any fantasy farmer. They kind of look like them.
Yeah.
So yeah, and the Guardians kill them all.
Yeah, because they're dicks.
Yep. And then bring the First Lantern to Earth and start the Third Army.
Because they're dicks.
Who are weird fucking dude thing. We're like, I don't even know how...
They kind of look like, before the relaunch, they kind of look like what OMAC looked like.
A little bit!
Like, not Bloody Blank OMAC, but like crazy cyborg OMACs.
Yeah, only they don't have like the weird mohawk thing.
Yeah, and they have two eyes.
OMAC is actually not a comparison, because they actually infect people with other stuff and turn them into Third Army members.
Yeah, I think this is just a new OMAC. That isn't OMAC.
Yeah, they aren't run by Brother Eye.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Guardians, they start the Third Army, and they also leave, they also take the, they'll take Black Hand to put him in the Chamber of Shadows in case they need him later. You know?
Yeah. As one would do.
Yes.
With a villain.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if I had a supervillain, I'd like put him away for a rainy day.
Just in case other villains are around.
Yeah, it's like, I'm bored.
Yo, Bovi! Black Hand.
His lip.
Man.
It's weird.
So
at the end of this, we get the big two-page spread, which is soliciting Green Lanterns the Green Lanterns versus the Third Army.
Yeah.
Where we also get front and center the new Green Lantern, Baz.
Yep.
Who's been
confirmed as a car thief.
Yes, and who we'll be talking about a bit later in the show.
Okay.
But yeah, so this gets, you know, over the next three issues, I guess, for all four of the currently running Green Lantern books, which is New Guardians, Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps, and Red Lanterns.
Yep.
We're going to be getting all of them versus the Third Army.
Yep. That's exciting.
But yeah, so, to transition into Steven's thing, let's talk about before Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan.
Ah, what about also Minuteman?
You can talk about that when we get into it.
Okay.
So, remember that scene at the funeral when Dr. Manhattan had that weird flashback thing?
I sure do.
It's pretty much this comic.
Yep.
See, this is why I was so not interested in the idea of Before Watchmen. I'm like, we've seen what happens before.
Yes.
We've seen all this already.
Oh. Man, you know what's great about this issue of Before Watchmen?
What?
Can you guess? They get something wrong.
Yes, they do, actually.
Blaringly so.
Yeah, like why he went into the intrinsic field chamber.
Yep.
Because like
he went in to get his watch.
No.
Nope.
In the original Watchmen, it's to get his girlfriend's watch that he fixed. But now it's to get his jacket.
Because, you know, if you're in there doing science, you'd leave your jacket in the really weird test chamber thing with a time lock on it.
But, like, when it was a watch, it made, like, theatrical sense. Now it's just his jacket. Now it's just a stupid thing he did.
Yeah, it's like...
A derp-a-der.
Pretty much. It's pretty much a derp-a-der. Though, there was a nice emotional moment with his father.
Yeah. I can't even remember that. I can't even remember that.
He visited his dad when his dad was dying.
The only thing I remember from the dad is when he gave him the clock that he used to model, that he gave him the clock that he modeled the thing on Mars after.
That was stupid. No clock looks like that, especially in, like, what, the 50s?
But hey, it was...
They don't have that kind of technology.
Yeah, they don't have the technology to make a clock that garish.
Though, I was waiting for Before Watchmen to show Dr. Manhattan's dong, and Dr. Manhattan was the first one to do that. I was like, when are they going to do it? Are they going to do it?
You're just waiting for Dr. Manhattan penis?
Yeah.
You love giant blue man balls.
My two favorite things is blue man balls and Zorro. Callback joke.
So you spend your Friday nights painting your balls blue and jerking off thinking about Zorro.
That's right.
What
else is there?
You know what's best? It's like, let me tell you what is best in life.
But anyways.
Yeah.
So I can say about Dr. Manhattan.
What?
It sure does look pretty.
Yeah, it's decent enough art.
It's Adam Hughes. He usually draws ladies. But now he draws penises.
Yes, but everything we're seeing in it is just an updated look of everything we've already seen.
Yes.
And I'm talking about the writing too. The writing is exactly the same.
It's just a lot of words.
It's a lot of words that we've already heard before.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so issue 2 might be good, right?
Issue 2 is probably going to be like him drawing parallels between having sex with fucking Lori and what's-her-face.
Oh yeah, the dumb girl.
Yeah, the bitch.
Cancer girl.
Yeah. It's like, you gave me cancer! No, I didn't.
Sorry!
Yeah, it's like, sorry, I gave you a new Lulmark card. Sorry I gave you cancer.
Ha-ha, cancer.
Love the reference.
Yeah, but fuck, I'm...
The hell is Lulmark?
I want this to end. I want Before Watchmen to end. Like, actually, I want to be erased from existence. I will do a one more day deal with Mephisto to get rid of fucking... I don't even fuck.
It'd be less stupid than the actual one more day.
Yeah, it's like, I want your marriage. I'm not married. Oh, okay, how about your soul? I gave it to a guy. Okay. How about that knife? Okay. Now erase Before Watchmen from everything.
Yeah, I demand your beard.
Fuck you, dude. I don't give my beard for shit.
But what about Before Watchmen?
My beard is more important than Before Watchmen.
I think most things are more important than Before Watchmen.
Like, I'll give up my ability to have children before I give up my beard. I love my beard that much.
Having kids would suck, so just... Yeah. That's not a bad thing to give up.
Yeah. Well then, on Friday, during the Movies and Television podcast, you'll get to hear some stuff about not being able to have children. Like, you will not like.
I'm excited.
Yes. So, back to Watchmen.
See that little cliffhanger? That little tease?
What?
Little tease coming up for you guys.
Yes. So, moving on to Steven. Other before Watchmen stuff you got.
Well, Minimag came out on Wednesday.
Oh, goody.
Did you read it?
No, I stopped reading Minimag after the first issue.
Oh, really? Because this is the best one. Not even a joke. This is actually the best out of all the Before Watchmen. It's pretty much all just Silhouette and Night Owl. A little bit of comedian.
Does he still laugh ruckusly?
No. Nobody's ruckusly. It's great. It's just like, oh my god. And like you find out that like Dollar Bill is a dick.
You already knew he was a dick. He works for banks.
Yeah, but now he's now he hates gay people.
Well, yeah, it's the '50s. Everyone hates gay people.
Anyways, yeah, he was because they find out what they find out. I don't know. They talk about stuff, and they talk about like Silhouette probably being gay, and like Dollar Bill's like she's the worst because she's gay. And I was like, whoa, that's not true. She's not the worst.
It's like when I was like, whoa, not cool, bro.
Yeah.
We have an HR department now.
Yeah.
It's like they hear you saying that shit, you're gonna be gone.
Oh man, it's just like really good. It's like the best one.
Well, I may have to read it.
You should. You don't even have to read the other one. All you need to know is that he's writing a book, comedian tried to rape Sally, and that Silhouette saves children. That's all you need to know before Before Watchmen Minutemen number 3.
I knew that before reading Before Watchmen, period.
Exactly. This is a good one. This is what Before Watchmen should have been.
Just this issue?
Yeah, just this one issue. Well, we might get into a news, but there's more Before Watchmen news.
I know.
Isn't that the worst? We should talk about that later.
I've written the article about it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
So moving on.
Anyways,
oh, yeah, that.
What else are we doing, Steven?
I'm going to talk about one that I've been meaning to talk about is the Adventure Time series. It is pretty much among the best comics being printed because the Adventure Time series, unlike most comics I've been reading, it has done nothing to make me angry. It just makes me constantly happy.
Yeah, I've been thinking about getting into Adventure Time because apparently it's big now.
It's huge. Like, the cartoon is great, and like the book, the comics is being written by Ryan North, who writes Dinosaur Comics, which was one of the best web comics. And the current arc is about time travel, which is great in and of itself.
Oh, goody! Time travel.
You don't like time travel?
It just gets way too complicated.
Well, this is hilarious time travel. Anyways, there's not much to say except Adventure Time is great because it's Adventure Time. And in the latest issue, they fight robots.
What time is it?
Adventure Time, number 7.
No!
Oh. Sorry. And the last book I'm going to talk about today is Justice League number 12.
Yes, that one.
Have any of you guys read The Dark Knight Strikes Again?
No.
Okay,
well, in Dark Knight Strikes Again, written by Frank Miller, there's a scene where Wonder Woman and Superman kiss, you know, they kiss, and, like, they have sex in the sky.
You know, as superheroes are wont to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I've seen my super ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. So, like, I think what Geoff Johns and the rest of those in charge of DC Comics are just trying to do is make Frank Miller's crazy works more and more canon. Like, they just want to, like, no, but it was great when Frank Miller totally wrote something crazy. We should make our books more like that. And they were like, sure.
Like, she's more like, you know what's great? Every single Elseworld thing where Wonder Woman was super hooked up.
Yeah.
Because it happened, like, pretty much every single thing that happened in the alternate universe that had Superman and Wonder Woman in it ended with those two hooking up.
Yeah, I know. It's because it's so easy. Who made a good decision? The animated universe. Because they hooked up Wonder Woman and Batman.
Yes.
And, like, that was, like, crazy, but it, like, made, like, it was interesting.
Yeah, and,
this,
like...
This is not interesting.
I wanted to see that. I wanted to see it, like, get in the comics. I wanted to see it actually turn into something.
Because it's actually really cool. Blackest Night, it did.
It's actually really cool.
In Blackest Night, there was, like, a little hint at it.
Oh, God, yeah. It's been a long time since I've read Blackest Night.
Yeah, well, in Blackest Night, the Wonder Woman miniseries, like, the Wonder Woman ones, mm-hmm. when she, what turns her into a love lantern while she's black is she thinks about Bruce. And she loves Bruce.
Oh, man.
And it was really nice. Except Bruce was dead at the time.
Oh, man.
And she was like, Bruce. And then her black ring exploded. And then she turned into a pink lantern.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
Okay, fuck it. Jeff Johns. Fuck up. Fuck Superman. Get Batman in there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he'll probably die by Snoo-Snoo, but fuck it.
Snoo-Snoo. But, like, the way this happens, like, isn't awful. It's awful that it is happening, but it seems pretty, like, it comes out pretty naturally.
Yeah, like, well...
Because, like, what happens
Yeah, I know what happens. Like, we could say, yeah, I guess for people out there, Bovey.
Yeah. For Bovey.
Yeah.
Like, Steve Trevor, who is, like, Wonder Woman's ex, like, totally gets fucked up, and he's all like, I hate you, Wonder Woman. It's your fault my face is fucked up.
Because it, like, is.
Well, yeah, it is. And she's like, I'm sorry. He's like, I don't care. And, like, he's in a hospital bay and does this great thing where he just turns away. It's like, whatever.
It's like, whatever. Turns over. I got my IV.
Yeah.
I can't do it away. Just fuck off.
Here's a great line. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Ah, damn it.
And then at the Hall of Justice.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Like, everyone's there except for Superman and Wonder Woman. Green Lantern quits the Justice League for some weird reason. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, isn't it because, like...
He's like, you guys need a scapegoat to blame all your problems on, so yeah. I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, because, like, there was that video of the fight that they had.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's so, like, they're like, blame it all on me, I'll quit the league, and you can say it's all my fault.
So
that's stupid.
It's kind of stupid, but does... It makes some sense, I guess.
It makes sense, but it's a stupid thing to happen. I don't like it.
Yeah, but there always needs to be a Green Lantern in the Justice League.
Yeah. So maybe Guy will join.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Don't like Guy?
He's a dick.
Anyways, so then, like, half the rest of the book is, like, them kissing or whatever. No, it's talking about their feelings, and then they kiss.
Yeah, the last page of the book is them kissing.
Yeah. So, like, pretty much, if they just switch Superman with Batman in these last pages and make pretty much everything else they're saying the same, except for, like, their names and, like, what their jobs are.
Yeah, like, what about the power stuff? Because, you know, Batman's just a dude. This is, like...
Yeah, they're talking about how, like, oh, we're so great. We're so sad that we're great.
It's like, oh, like, it's like, Batman's... It's like, oh, I'm so sad. I'm the daughter of a god.
Yeah. Well, like... What their point is that they're both lonely.
Yeah. You know, they're not fucking lonely, Bruce. Like, in every single Superman thing I'm reading, Superman is always surrounded by people.
Yeah, I know.
Like, in fucking Superman issue 12, he goes bungee jumping with a girl. I'm not kidding.
I stopped reading Superman series.
He was bungee jumping with Lois Lane's sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she's too busy fucking somebody else.
Yeah, Batman's lonely.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Batman's lonely.
The lone man in the shadows.
Well, he does fuck Catwoman.
Oh, yeah, that's canon now, too. Also a thing from Frank Miller. Come on, DC. Get your act together.
Really, that's just Frank Miller?
Well, Frank Miller, it was in like, Frank Miller stuff.
I thought it was Jeff Loeb.
Oh, Jeff Loeb had it, too.
That was one of the big things that happened in Hush, which I just recently read.
Yeah. Yeah, they kiss and stuff in Hush.
Yeah, that was, like, one of the big things, like, kissed her, it's like, oh, goodbye, I fucking love her. Like, that was happening, like, every other time. Like,
anytime he wasn't punching someone, they were talking about, like, what are you gonna do about Catwoman, Bruce? Ugh.
Yeah, Pete reveals his identity to her in Hush.
Yeah.
Which was just real stupid, like, the way they did it. Like, not the reveal of it, just, like, the way it was set up, because, like, there's, like, two panels, it's happening in conjunction with, like, Harvey Dent revealing the Joker that he's fixed.
Yeah, which is stupid. I don't like it anytime they fix Two-Face. I always think it's stupid.
But it doesn't make sense!
Because it never sticks!
No, that's not it. It's like, oh, hey, my face isn't fucked up anymore. Now my psychological problems are just gone.
Well, like, despite the fact
that he had psychological problems before he got the acid on his face.
Well, in the original, like in like the 30s or whatever, what made him go crazy is that like he used to be super handsome and everyone liked him, but then when he was ugly, nobody liked him anymore.
Oh. Yeah, and in one of the things that I read, he actually had like psychological problems, like some kind of like weird fucked up schizophrenic thing when he was a kid, which was then suppressed by getting into law and shit, and then like the acid just brought that out again.
Yeah, the animated series did that too.
Yeah, but like fixing your face doesn't remove any damage done by the acid below the skin.
Yeah.
Or psychological.
The only ones who did it right was, who would have guessed it, Frank Miller, because in Dark Knight Returns, it fixed Two-Face, and they're all like, oh, he's all better, but he actually wasn't better. But it was way better written than the way I'm explaining it. Yeah, anyways, that's why I have to talk about comics this week.
Okay, so, on to news. First piece of news. So, Michael Emerson, the guy who played Ben on Lost, is now going to be the Joker.
In The Dark Knight Returns!
Yep. Part 2.
Oh, is he in? Well, Joker's in part 1, too, I think.
Hmm. I believe he's
in. But, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, he is... So...
Yeah.
According to...
That's it.
Yes, well, actually... Oh. So, Emerson said about the Joker, he's one of the greatest villains that an actor like me likes to play because he has layers. He has a face for the world and a face for himself. He is, in a way, a villain who is a natural actor. All of that is delightful and confounding at the same time.
A sentence.
Yeah. So yeah, this is happening. So The Dark Knight Returns Part 1 is coming out on DVD September 25th. It's coming out on Blu-ray, DVD, digital download, and on demand.
Same day as The Avengers is coming out on all those things.
Yep, and Part 2 is going to be coming out in early 2013.
Yep. I'm excited.
Yeah. I wonder which one I'll buy.
Only buy one of them.
Yeah.
Buy the second one, because that one... Batman.
No, I mean, which one will I buy? The Dark Knight Returns or The Avengers?
Oh, I'm going to buy both.
Hmm. So, moving on. Rob Liefeld has left DC.
Sure did. Very quietly, I might add.
Yes, moving on, because I don't care.
Oh, you're not going to talk about it?
That's all there was. He left.
Yeah, but then he yelled about it on Twitter.
You put two tweets in your article for him.
Oh, since I wrote the article, like, the next day, he, like, went crazy. And, like, started yelling at people and started yelling at Scott Snyder, writer of Batman. He's like, you guys are all assholes. You guys all suck.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
He went crazy, and it was amazing, and I should have waited a day to write it.
Yeah. Oh, well. But, yeah,
that's about it, though.
Moving on. We're getting another Before Watchmen series.
Sure are. This one's only two issues, though.
So, Before Watchmen, Moloch.
Everyone's favorite character, Moloch.
Yes, the only villain, apparently, in this universe.
So, someone we give much less of a shit about.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, the series is going to be written by J. Michael Straczynski, with art by Eduardo Risso. And there was a little thing that was released, and I'm not a fan of the art.
Yeah, stupid.
Yeah, so Before Moloch issue 1 is coming out November 7th, and issue 2 is coming out December 26th.
And then no one will care.
Yeah. So, Scotty Young, the artist who... I fucking love this guy's art. He did all the art for Oz books. So, on top of doing A Babies vs. X-Babies, he also did a bunch of variant covers for for a bunch of the new Marvel Now series, including Uncanny Avengers, A plus X, All New X-Men, which is my favorite, because it's just, oh, it's so good. Fantastic Four, Indestructible Hulk, Iron Man, Thor God of Thunder, and Deadpool, which is my second favorite. And, oh, they're just so cute!
Yes.
You guys should really check them out. Like, so, All New X-Men is my favorite, because, so it's got all the, original X-Men as babies, but Iceman is, like, smashed to pieces and crying, and so, and then, like, all, like, so Cyclops is, so, like, all the babies are pointing at each other, like, Baby Beast, which is also cute, is blaming Jean Grey. Jean Grey's blaming Beast. Cyclops is blaming both Beast and Jean Grey, and Angel's blaming Cyclops. Meanwhile, like, the fully grown shadow of Wolverine just looming over them.
Funny!
Because, you know, Wolverine is essentially the Marvel Universe dad.
Also, he's not a good America? Couple hundred years older than everyone else.
Yeah. Oh god, they're so good. I want Scotty Young to do more art. Like, actually draw a whole series and not just Oz shit.
Look at Deadpool 1.
The Deadpool 1 is so cute. You got,
like, they said, screw you!
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah, and like, instead of having bullets everywhere, it's like little Nerf darts. With little plunger things on them.
Yeah.
It's so cute! Oh god, I love it.
If there was a Deadpool book that looked like that, and was like just about like kids fighting, I'd probably read it.
Oh yeah, that's good. I cannot wait for Marvel Now. Now. It's really hard to say.
Marvel Now. I can't even figure out a way to say it. I'm trying. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. So, moving on to the final piece of news. DC has announced Justice League of America.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so...
That.
We have a new Justice League team. Our lineup consists of Martian Manhunter, Steve Trevor, Catwoman, some guy named Vibe, I think. Yeah.
You don't know Vibe?
I don't know who the Vibe is.
Guess what Vibe's power is.
Vibrations?
Sounds.
Okay.
You can dock your iPod into him and...
Yeah, he works as a portable iPod dock. So we also have Katana, Green Arrow, Hawkman, Stargirl, and Baz, the new Green Lantern. So, yeah, what do you think of this lineup?
From the, for being called Justice League of America, I think only five, maybe six, are actually from America. Or Americans. Oh, wait, no, Baz is...
he's Arab American. He's Arab American. Yeah. Catwoman's American. Steve Trevor.
I don't know about Vibe.
Steve Trevor's American. What's his face? Green Arrow's American.
Yeah. Only two of them are Americans. Yeah. Unless Hawkman is wherever.
Isn't he alien?
I don't know if he is in the New 52.
Yeah, I've read one of his issues.
I didn't read any.
Like, isn't he? Is Katana? She's Japanese.
Yeah.
And
Martian Manhunter's from
Mars.
Tokyo or something, right?
Yeah. Martian Manhunter's from, some far off place. I think he's from, Greenland or something.
Yeah, Greenland, get it? Ha-ha!
Because he's green! But, yeah.
It's my funny voice.
So, it's gonna do it for this week. Mm-hmm. That's gonna do it for guests for this week. So, as always, you can follow the site on Twitter. You can follow us at Death Star Prods. I am at deadman_dprods. We have at Movie1 and at Steven_TC. Mm-hmm. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/DeathStoreProds. We are on iTunes. Please subscribe to us. Leave us some reviews. Let us know what you want to see more of, less of, etc. And before we get into the schedule for the upcoming week, I want to say, so Punchatron, who is our anime guy, has a bi-weekly column called Aimless Wanderings, where he highlights three anime series a week. And since I am pretty much the Punchatron equivalent on the comic book podcast, in that I read way more than you guys do.
Sure do.
I want to start doing an article like this. Just bi-weekly, it'll switch off between Aimless Wanderings and this comic book thing, where I just outline three comic books that I've read over the past couple weeks that I haven't mentioned on the podcast, or you guys didn't pick. Mm-hmm. And just kind of do mini reviews of them.
That'd be cool.
But I can't think of a name for it.
Well, we came up with a couple either during or just after the Anything cast.
Yeah, I didn't like any of them. They weren't good.
No, they were terrible, but that's kind of the point.
Just call it panels.
Fuck you. But yeah, so please, if any of you guys out there, like, if any of you guys comment on any of these things, or just, if you have an idea for what you think it could be called, then please either leave it in the comments below to this comic book podcast, or tweet them at me at deadman on 3D Prods. Or leave them on our Facebook page. Yeah, like, I want to start doing this, but I can't think of a name for it, and maybe you guys are probably more creative than I am. So please, let me know. But anyway, so this Friday we're going to be having the comic book, this Friday we're going to be having the movies and television podcast, as well as the first commentary of Dark Horse Month with Mystery Men. Then on Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern, on LLGames.com, we're going to be having the Anything Cast live as usual. Then, next Tuesday, we're going to be having video games. Next Thursday, we're going to be having the anime, we're going to have the anime podcast, as well as the Anime Club supplement. And then, next Friday, we're going to be continuing, Dark Horse Month with Alien vs. Predator. So stay tuned for all that. And until all that, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bovilon.
I'm Steven. I'm going to go watch Space Jam.
We'll see you guys next time.